Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. The regular season is over. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how are you?
It's amazing that we're already at this point.
Yep.
The season's already over. It seemed like time just flew by. But you know what? I think it also goes to show that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think I was trying to put into words exactly the theme of that. Like, what team would encapsulate the theme of just being the same old team that they are every single year? And, you know, I just gotta tell it like it is. So here we go. Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Wake up, babe. It's the same old Mets. Bring the family for a laugh. They'll pitch better than that gosh awful staff who has it rougher in baseball than a Mets fan. Them and their multi-million dollar man, 38 and 55. Losing for them is a sure bet. Not even Grimace can save their butts. It's the same old Mets. Woo! Oh, baby. Amazing. The 2025 Mets, guys. The same old Mets.
Same old.
They met it once again.
They had the best record in baseball at one point in the season at, what, 47 and 20-something?
So on June 13th, they were 45 and 25.
Jeez. And they just got eliminated yesterday. And if they won, they would have went in. But they lost. They couldn't even beat the... And to be fair, the Marlins, they were playing as if like it was a World Series, which was great. Everyone was rooting for that. But yeah, it really is kind of crazy that the Mets just met it hard. Like last year was an anomaly almost with it. Like, yeah, they've been a little bit like competitive, but, you know, they signed Soto to the biggest contract in history and they can't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's...
But... Okay, I want to go back to my prediction. I felt like that pitching staff was not going to hold up.
It didn't.
I told you. I was like, there's no way this team with this rotation can last the whole season. And it didn't. Yeah. So I want to point out, I was kind of right about this team. I just felt like this team wasn't going to be able to push through till the end. So
yeah.
I can go back and find the clip. I know what my predictions at the beginning of the year. I was like, Quintana, Clay Holmes... because they ended up relying on two of their minor leaguers at the end of the year who actually pitched well, except Wu got destroyed like one game and couldn't get out of the first inning.
Well, what amazed me too is that their last game of the year against the Marlins, right? You think they would like try really hard, but you watch some of that game and they just look totally lifeless and defeated. Using their bullpen game, warming up Edwin Diaz in the fourth inning of this game when they're down 4-0. I'm like, there's still plenty of game to go, and Cincinnati lost yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe if they try and make a bit of a comeback, they still have a shot at making it in, but they just showed nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You and I both do not like the Mets.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a joy that you and I can come together and find a common bond through that in baseball, given that we don't like each other's teams that much, but we still root for... There's that common ground.
Yes.
Yes. So the regular season is over.
Yes.
The Mets lost, and all is good in the world. Both our teams, the Yankees and the Phillies, respectively, have made the playoffs. The Yankees made in as wild card team, and they'll be playing tomorrow, I believe.
Yep, at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. And the Phillies will be playing on Saturday to either the winner of the Reds and Dodgers wild card series. So what we are going to do is this is a strictly postseason predictions podcast. Kev will cover the AL. I will cover the NL. And what we'll do is we will go round by round. So Kev's going to start with the AL. We're going to do the wild card round of the AL. And then I'm going to do the NL wild card round and then vice versa. And then by the end of it, we will have an AL champion versus an NL champion, and we will predict. We do not know who we have predicted right here. Yeah. We do not know. So, but at the very end, we will decide, based off of who the matchup is in the World Series, who will win the World Series. And you can take this to the bank. Like, any bank. It's acceptable at every
bank.
You know how those credit cards are like, oh, acceptable. Like American Express is available at all this. You can deposit this check in any bank. Doesn't matter if you have an account or anything. Deposit these picks in any bank.
Yeah, we're more stable than NFTs.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that lasted like what, like 2 months? So, again, regular season is over. We are postseason is upon us, starting tomorrow. Or today, if you're listening to it on Tuesday, the 29th,
the 30th,
30th. That's right. That's the date. It's been a long, for some reason, summer has gone by so fast, but it's been so long in the same capacity. I'm ready for fall, and there's just a lot has happened in the last couple weeks, but we are here. We're going to do some postseason predictions and we hope you enjoy. So Kev, why don't you start off with the AL wildcard round?
I certainly will. And, I actually want to start with the other series first. And what I mean by the other series is that I think most eyes, at least nationally, on a national level, are going to be looking at the Yankees and the Red Sox because it's the rivalry. They two big teams with a history. But there is so much interesting with what's going on with Cleveland and Detroit and how fitting it is that they're playing each other in this wild card round.
Mm-hmm.
For some context, we have the Guardians who... they were down 15 and a half games in their division.
It's wild.
Absurd. Everybody thought they were done. How couldn't you think they were done?
We didn't mention them in our last podcast about the postseason push.
No.
Like, we didn't. I think I mentioned the Reds, and I think you might have mentioned the... I can't remember who you mentioned. But, yeah. It's just...
They were down in July, but sometimes if you get really hot at the right time, it could turn your entire season around, and that's exactly what happened with Cleveland.
Yeah,
and they roared back at just the right time, and Detroit really fell apart at the end.
Yeah,
I don't know what their record is for September for Detroit. That they looked like they had the division in the bag, and they lost their division.
Yeah,
I just know that they are sort of limping into the postseason right now while Cleveland is on fire.
Limping is almost an understatement. Yeah. Like they're on crutches and I don't think both their legs work. I think they're just big hobbing into it.
I mean, starting with the Yankees series, they lost three, then they lost, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 games in a row. Five of which were against Cleveland, so that got them right back into it. And then they lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, sealing the division for Cleveland. And for me, I think that's going to be the narrative continuing into the wild card game. There's a lot of momentum on Cleveland's side, I think, and there is a momentum aspect to the playoffs. You don't always have to be the best team in the league, like in terms of statistics or talent even, to make a run. Look at the Cardinals.
Yeah,
2011.
Yeah, 2011.
2011 Cardinals. They got hot at the right time. I won't go too much into that. I know that's a bad memory for you. Mm-hmm. I'll bring up the Rockies instead. They're the classic example.
Yeah, of a team. We still lost to them.
Yeah, but it got better after that.
Yeah, whatever. Move on. Yeah, come on.
And I would think Detroit still has the better team in terms of talent. I think Cleveland is more going for them, and I think it's going to be Cleveland in 3 over Detroit.
Okay.
Especially since Cleveland will be hosting, too.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this to you. Cleveland just seems to be... It's Jose Ramirez and a bunch of raccoons in trench coats. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. That's what they do. Like, they have Stephen Kwan, but there's no one, like, spectacular on the team other than J-Ram.
No.
Really. Like, it's just how it is. I'll leave my comments towards the very end with everything, but you can move on.
Yeah. And now I'll move on to my team, which is also an interesting series because it's the Yankees and Red Sox. It's never not going to be interesting. Historic rivalry. This is the fourth time they're going to be playing each other in the postseason since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, ever since Game 3, of the 2004 ALCS, how many games the Yankees have won against the Red Sox in the postseason?
In the postseason?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember when they've played. I feel like they played in 20, like early 2010s. I feel like. No. Okay, how many games?
One.
Huh.
They've won. Well, they played each other in 2018.
Yeah.
In the wild card round in 2021.
Okay.
lost to them then. And then last, my memory's so fuzzy right now, that they played each other recently.
Yeah,
they've won one game against the Red Sox. The Red Sox have had their number postseason-wise. And they might be missing Roman Anthony.
Mm-hmm. They are. Yeah.
Which hurts them. But they got a solid staff, ending with Crochet, who has absolutely dominated the Yankees this year. And I think even though the Yankees are hosting the series, Red Sox are comfortable going to the Bronx. I don't think there's any fear for them going to New York the way they've played against the Yankees this year.
Yeah.
The one thing going for the Yankees right now is the momentum, sort of like Cleveland. They've won eight or nine straight games ending the year.
Mm-hmm.
But they were against nobodies.
Mm.
They played the White Sox. They played the Orioles. They played the Twins. Just kind of like layups.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're thinking, well, okay, maybe this reestablishes enough confidence for them to like maybe make a push.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be enough, though.
Okay.
Gotcha. I think the Red Sox are going to take it.
Okay.
I think the Red Sox in three. I don't think it's going to be a two-game sweep. Especially with the Yankees rotation, because they're going to have Fried starting and Rodon and the kid.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be Boston in three.
Okay. All right. So you have Cleveland advancing to play Seattle. And then you have Boston advancing to play Toronto.
Correct.
Okay.
It's sort of similar to the theme we had a couple of pod episodes ago. I don't believe in this team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people might have gotten hyped up about winning recently, though it wasn't really against anybody.
Yeah, but I feel like you have been playing better baseball. I know it's against teams that aren't, like, it just felt like there was a different vibe over the last couple of weeks. I know you're playing not great teams. They're still professional baseball teams, even though the White Sox aren't a professional baseball team. That goes a long way, because if you're feeling better about the team, like, they were one game away from being the one seed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just shows you that you're right there. I could see it. I'm trying to think. Should I hold my comments till after, or do you think I should do it round by round?
It's up to you.
Like, with the Cleveland-Detroit series, yeah, I could see that. Detroit it seems lifeless right now. I don't have any confidence in them. If they advance, I could see them like, oh, okay, they got momentum now. They could be dangerous. But they really have to beat Cleveland pretty handily before I can do that. But yeah, I kind of agree. Cleveland should advance. I think the Yankees are going to beat Boston. I know that Crochet has dominated the Yankees and the Boston's kind of had their number. I think the home field advantage is going to be a little bit more of a factor than you might think. I know Boston doesn't seem to fear going in. While I agree with that, I think the Yankees have a little bit more juice in them right now than Boston. Just from the outside looking in, I know you have the inside view of it. Just from the outside looking in, I see the Yankees winning that, but I also think it's going to be a three-game series. I agree with that.
I will say, if they do manage to beat Boston in the series, I will feel a lot better about their chances moving forward.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if they can get past Boston, mm-hmm. I think they'll have a good shot against Toronto.
Okay, sweet.
But until I see that, that's what I'm going to be sticking with.
Gotcha. All right. Time for the NL wildcard round. First matchup is the Cincinnati Reds, which is a sixth seed and got in literally yesterday because the Mets lost. Just want to reiterate that. And then they are going up against the Los Angeles Dodgers, who won the division but are the three seed. This is kind of like, it's not David versus Goliath, because the Dodgers are a three seed. But in terms of just raw talent, the Dodgers are light years ahead of the Cincinnati Reds in almost every category. The Cincinnati Reds, I saw a stat where they it's the first time a team like didn't have a guy hit over 25 home runs, have a batting average over 270, didn't have a certain amount of, like, it was the first time that they've made the playoffs. So there's not really anything stellar about the Reds. They do have some good pitching with Abbott, Green, and then Lodolo. They've been pretty good. They got some good pitching that they could do some damage against the Dodgers lineup. But the Dodgers are the Dodgers. they are a good team. They have Ohtani. They have, even though Mookie Betts didn't have a Mookie Betts year, he's still Mookie Betts. They still have Freddie Freeman. And then Yamamoto has been fantastic, along with Blake Snell has been pretty good this year. Like, it's just, it would be a miracle, I think, if the Reds won this series. Not because they're not a good team, because they got hot. They got hot. It helped the Mets that, to be fair, I picked the Reds to be the team that got in last podcast. So I just want to make sure that I get some credit here. Just a little humble brag there. But the Dodgers are just a better team. I don't see, there's going to be a lot of money on the Dodgers to make it in advance. And if I'm the Phillies, I think I want to play the Dodgers. I don't know why. I want to play the Dodgers, but I see the Dodgers in two. I don't see it being, I could see it making a close game, maybe one or two, game one, but game two, I just feel like the Dodgers are going to pull away. So Dodgers in two. And right now it's looks like Snell's starting game one, and then Yamamoto starting game two, and Ohtani is starting game three if necessary. So, but then they said that Ohtani would start game one on Saturday against the Phillies if they advanced in two games. So that'll be interesting to see if they advance. But I mean, I really hope the Reds, I feel like this is like the Detroit of last year, possibly, you know, like next year they will take a jump start or a step forward again with the Reds. But the Reds, I feel like they're just a year too early. They got in, but they're up and coming. They're up and coming. So yeah, moving on. The San Diego Padres going up against the Chicago Cubs, both wild card teams, both finished with above 90 wins, which is kind of crazy that there were five teams that finished above 90 wins in the National League. Kind of nuts. Given that, I mean, the Rockies were a very terrible team, so they got some wins with that.
And no one above 100 wins.
No one above 100 wins. Yep. There's not really a juggernaut this year. Like last year, it felt like the Dodgers were the juggernaut, and a little bit like the Yankees, but the Yankees had a little bit of trouble, but the Dodgers last year were the juggernaut. But yeah, Padres, the Cubs. Padres are going to Chicago. I could see this really being, it's going to be a three-game series. It's going to be a three-game series. I think, I'll give my prediction and then I'll explain why. I think the Padres are going to take it. Even though I probably, if I were the Phillies, if this was moving on, I would want to play the Cubs, just because San Diego's bullpen is number one in bullpen ERA, and they have a lot of talent with Suarez and Mason Miller. I know that, one of their guys tore their Achilles, but, it's, their starting pitching has been off with Cease and Darvish, but Nick Pivetta has been pretty good this year. But overall, they're just, I feel like San Diego might be the better team, even though their offense hasn't been fantastic. You know, Machado had 27 homers and 95 RBIs, but he only had a 795 OPS. Tatis, 25 homers, 71 RBIs, had an 814 OPS. So nothing like stands out for the Padres other than their bullpen. But that's the thing about baseball. You win with the bullpen most of the time in the playoffs. So, the Cubs have a really good lineup. The Cubs have a very, very good lineup. So it depends upon if Kyle Tucker and Pete Crumstrong kind of show up in the playoffs. You know, Pete Crumstrong was going to be an MVP candidate, and he still finished with a 30-30 season, but he definitely fell off the face of the earth and finished with below .250 average and an OPS below .770. And you just don't do that as an MVP candidate or as an all-star with it. I think this is going three games. It really is almost a toss-up. I think these teams are fairly even in a lot of different categories, with probably the pitching goes to San Diego, offense goes to Chicago. You know, the Chicago has the home field, but if I'm going to rely on stuff, I think San Diego's bullpen can probably take care of this Cubs offense, and I think that's what's going to matter the most with it. So I'll take San Diego in three. Yeah.
Okay. Well, give a little bit of respect to my hot take NL Central winner, Cincinnati Reds.
They didn't win the Central, but they made it. Yeah.
They made it. Yeah. There's a reason why they made it. They have a solid manager, and like you said,
yeah,
a great starting rotation. But also, like you said, they're playing the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They're playing the class of baseball, even though they did not reach the heights that we expected them to.
Yeah.
They still have the talent I think is going to overwhelm Cincinnati, especially in LA.
Yeah.
That's actually, I think that out of all the series, that's probably the one I would say that would go two games.
Yeah.
With either Dodgers and the Reds series.
And I didn't think about this in terms of manager. I think the Reds have the best manager in baseball for the postseason with Terry. Like,
I think he could be manager of the year.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to think of like the other managers in postseason right now. Like, Dave Roberts doesn't have to do anything. He has to pick and choose who he puts in. But Terry has to like really strategize with a lot of stuff. And all the other managers, like, none of them are like stellar in terms of what they do, in my opinion. You know, maybe Alex Cora, just because he's been, you know, he's taken a team that hasn't been fantastic. But other than that, like, Terry's definitely the best manager, in my opinion, on this, in this postseason.
Yeah.
So I got the Dodgers advancing to play the Phillies, and then I have the Padres advancing to play the Brewers.
Yeah. And I think the Padres-Cubs one will be a toss-up. But at their best, I think the Padres' best is better than the Cubs' best.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
If they're both playing their best baseball, the Padres will win out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, both teams, I think the Cubs were a little hotter than the Padres towards the end of the year. Padres kind of almost limped into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like they were two games behind the Dodgers for like 2 months in the division. It was just like, all right, maybe the Padres will catch up, and just never did.
No.
All right. So let's go to the AL division series, starting with
the Guardians and the Mariners. I already talked a bit about the Guardians. Let's talk about Seattle for a bit. And you can't talk about Seattle without talking about their probable MVP candidate, Cal Raleigh. 60 home runs, 125 RBIs. Almost unheard of for a catcher. Most home runs by a catcher in baseball history, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yep.
It's got to be.
Yep.
I don't know who.
He beat Salvi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But it's also not just Raleigh either. Even though he's carried that offense a lot, you still have Julio Rodriguez. You still have a Rosarena. You still have Crawford. Their offense this year is much better.
Suarez,
too, yeah. I mean, just their offense overall has just been, I think, light years better.
Yeah.
This year than it was last year. Last year was what really hampered their chances of making the postseason, was because they couldn't hit. Their pitching wasn't the problem. And, I mean, heck, their pitching has been okay. Actually, I mean, it's still been good, but I don't think it's been as solid as last year's either. And depending on how the Guardians would do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a 5-game series. It's not
this,
seven
this
yet.
This is a 5-game series, yeah. I think Seattle's a little better than the Guardians are, especially on offense. I think Raleigh and having a Rosarena and all those other guys is going to be enough to overcome Cleveland. I think Cleveland had a nice run, but I think they might hit a wall in Seattle, but it won't be a sweep. I would say Seattle in four. Seattle in four.
Okay. All right.
And that moves me on to the next series, which is the AL East, once again, having three teams in the playoffs, and it doesn't change here with Boston. Toronto, you know, I picked them to be at least fourth this year. I don't think it was last. It was
either the Rays or...
It was the Rays might have been last. I know Toronto was last year.
Yeah.
So they were worst to first.
Dang.
But I think a comment I did make in that MLD prediction is that if they actually played up to what everyone expects them to play, they'll be a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They've just been underperforming year after year, and now finally they're performing the way they should be.
Yeah.
AL East chance, 94 wins. I mean, you got that lineup, one of the better ones in baseball, with Guerrero, Bichet, and Springer, who's had a heck of a year. 309.
One of your favorite players.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, every time I watch him, it's just like. I mean, even watching Alejandro Kirk yesterday, I made the comment, I'm like, this guy looks like the most unathletic man in the world, but he's hitting grand slams, he's getting doubles, like, yeah,
he does his job.
He does his job. A short little not skinny man.
That's a way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not. How much does he weigh?
He's got to be at least 260.
Yeah.
But he's, what, 5'8"?
Yeah.
Like, all right, we got to look this up. You do your thing. I'll look this up.
Their pitching has held them down a bit. I think they're the best ERA I think it was in the high threes in terms of rotation, so not terrible. They're definitely in the bottom half of the American League in pitching. And they're going to be playing a Boston team who is one of the best pitching teams in baseball. I think lineup to lineup, though, Toronto's got more talent than Boston right now. And that's why I think Toronto is going to overtake Boston and get to the ALCS in 4 games as well. I'll say 4.
Okay. Alejandro Kirk is 5'8", 245 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's a big boy for being a short boy. He's a big short boy. All right. So you have Seattle facing Toronto in the ALCS.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right. Moving on to the NL Division Series. We have the Dodgers going up against my Philadelphia Phillies. Now, I will talk about the Phillies a little bit right now, given that I talked a little bit about the Dodgers earlier. Phillies, pretty much the only thing that worries me with the Phillies is that they kind of got a tad cold the last week and a half of the season, especially with Turner being out and Harper not being Harper that we expect. And Schwarber's been okay the last couple weeks. You know, he had a couple homers, but there's just something about this team that makes me think it's the same exact team as last year and the year before and the year before, where they don't have anything that's really changed other than Duran. That's it. That's really it. But they don't have Zach Wheeler to rely on, number one starter. So we're losing a little bit of that. The big factor will be whether or not the kind of the platoon, not platoon guys, but the lesser big name guys like Stott, Sosa, and Bohm, whether or not they kind of come through. Guys that don't get paid as much, do they come through with it? Because I just don't expect it from Turner, Schwarber, and Harper. Like, they got cold last year with the Mets, and when they went out to LA and faced LA a couple weeks ago, they did well, but they only did well against the Dodgers bullpen, which is all bad bullpen this year. So kind of how the postseason goes with the Phillies, it really is, like, I want to believe in this team, but for some reason I just can't fully believe in it. I can't really believe that they're going to win it all in that sense. Like, they have the best odds to win it all, which blew my mind given that how much stress this team has caused me. And it's wild to think about. Imagine if Zach Wheeler was healthy, if what our odds would be. Because he probably was a Cy Young candidate on his way. I feel like we do match up well against the Dodgers in areas with it. Obviously, it's star power versus star power with the Dodgers and Phillies. If we can beat the Dodgers bullpen, which could happen easily, I could see this being a 4-game series, but I probably think this is going 5. But I'm going to take the Phillies in 5. Again, I'm not sure if I believe in this team to go all the way, but I think that the Phillies will have enough to advance past the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are, I think, third favorites to win the World Series, or second favorites to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh man, the Phillies have to go up against, you know, just a wild card team that, you know, they have to go up against the Dodgers, who were at the beginning of the year were projected to be the best team of all time with how it was when they got Sasaki, they got Tanner Scott, and they got Conforto and someone else. They were like, well, what the frick? Like, they got freaking everyone. Everyone's going to the Dodgers. It depends. Dodgers have a lot of depth a lot of depth. So matchups, could see it. I could see the Dodgers winning this series, but I'm going to take the Phillies in five.
Okay.
Take the Phillies in five. Moving on, we have the Padres up against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers just came out of nowhere in the middle of the season and just became the best team in baseball. Like, no one really just thought, man, the Brewers are just going to be a good team. Like, I think I picked them to be, like, the worst team in the Central, I think. I can't remember 100%.
Yeah, worse than Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I think I also picked, shut up. I also picked Contreras to win MVP, I believe. You know, he had a decent year for a catcher, but yeah. He's not MVP level. You know, one of the big things that happened is they got Andrew Vaughn, who got released from the White Sox, and Andrew Vaughn kind of bolstered that lineup with Reese being out for a little bit. But Christian Yelich had a bounce back year. We got 29 homers, 103 RBIs, and 151 hits. So Christian Yelich is kind of, he's almost back. Not MVP level Christian Yelich, but definitely a good player. And they got Bryce Turang, who's just probably going to get some MVP votes because of just how versatile that dude is. You know, their bullpen is good. Their starting pitching is what their pitching kind of felt like what they carried them this year, even with Trevor McGill being out right now. Because right now, Brandon Woodruff's back. You know, he made 12 starts. Freddie Peralta had a very good year. He's probably going to be their game one starter. But then you have to figure out, you know, is Mizorowski going to be a starter, or is he going to put him in the bullpen with it? Even though he shouldn't have made the All-Star team, he finished with a 4.36 ERA. Yeah. Good job, MLB. So, do they match up better than the Padres? Because the Padres, I think, have more talent than the Brewers, but the Brewers seem to have put it together well. They will have the home field advantage over the Padres here. I could see this going 6-7 games, but I could also see the Brewers faltering hard, and I see this two ways. I see this being a long series, either 6 or 7 games, and the Brewers winning, or I see it being a 5-game series and the Padres winning. That's how I see it.
Who do you got, though?
I'm probably going to take the Padres. I feel like the Padres... No. I can't believe in the Padres. I can't. Their bullpen's good. You know, yeah. You know what? The Brewers just always Brewer. That in the postseason. When was the last time that they really like surprised people in the playoffs? Last year they lost to the Mets. They had, I mean, your Yankees legend Devin Williams blew it in the ninth against Pete Alonso.
Yep.
Yeah, I just feel like the Padres. I feel like the Padres have more talent, and their bullpen's gonna carry them a little bit more with it. I could see the Padres winning this series, so I'm gonna pick the Padres to advance to face the Phillies in the rematch of the 2022 NLCS.
Yeah.
So, and that will give home field advantage to the Phillies in the for the rest of the way. Because they have the second best record in baseball. The Brewers are just one game ahead of them. So right now we have the Seattle Mariners going up against the Toronto Blue Jays, and then you have the San Diego Padres going up the Philadelphia Phillies in the championship rounds. So who do you got moving on to the World Series in the AL?
I think this is something that's going to come down to pitching, because I think they're pretty similar in terms of, like, talent in their lineup right now. I think the Blue Jays have a better, they hit more, but I don't trust the Blue Jays starting pitching really. Like if I'm going to see a matchup between like guys like Gausman and Bassett and Berrios versus like Wu and Castillo and Gilbert, I think I would take Seattle more in that regard than I would with Toronto. And I think that's what it's going to come down to.
I think it matters which stadium that they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Toronto would have home field.
Yeah.
Well, they're both retractable roof stadiums.
Yep.
Yep. Retractable roofs for everybody.
Yeah.
Toronto would have the better home field. They definitely have a better home field than Seattle does. Like, if you remember the 2015 playoffs, that place got loud. Yeah. It gets loud in Toronto. This is tough for me, though. Like, a part of me wants to see Seattle finally get over the hump and make it. But that home field for Toronto is pretty tempting, and their lineup would be a bit better than theirs. You could see I very much prepared for this prediction.
Well, that's what we did. We're doing this live with it. We wanted to do this live.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live. I'm going to say Toronto in six games.
Six games. I could see that. I think the home field for Toronto really plays into their it's almost like the 12th man for Seattle, like the Seahawks back in the day. Yeah. Toronto's postseason is wild. Like, just thinking of when Jose Bautista hit that home run with it off of, was it Britton? No, it wasn't Britton.
Well, they did do that against the Orioles the next year.
Yeah. It's just wild to think about.
Oh, no, it wasn't against Britton. It was off of Ubaldo.
Oh, is it off of Ubaldo? Jeez.
That should have cost him his job immediately. But anyway.
Yeah, I could see. I think Seattle versus Toronto is a good championship series if we get that. I think that would be a very competitive. Could be kind of like legendary in the sense that we have a lot of cool moments, like walk-offs or something like that. Because I feel like both teams kind of set it up where the Toronto hasn't won the World Series since 93 and Seattle's never won. So you could have, and also two teams that kind of been disappointing the last couple of years, but have been trying, and they finally get over that hump. But yeah, I also see Toronto in the World Series, if I'm being honest. So yeah, I agree with you in that. But I think that'd be a good series. I think that's probably the most fun series that you would see in the postseason, in my opinion.
And they're both teams, as you watch them, they're annoying in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they get on base, they make the plays, they take long at bats. Like watching Toronto this year, like their bats lasted for an eternity.
Yeah.
Like dozen pitches, 10 pitches, 9 pitches, but they usually won those matchups.
Yep.
And those make a big difference.
Yep. Okay. Moving on to the NLCS, where we have the Philadelphia Phillies taking on the San Diego Padres. Now, the Phillies would have home field here, which has been a big factor for the Phillies in recent times, in the last couple of years. But at the same time, they haven't delivered when it has been needed, even in the home field advantage. They've lost, in the World Series, they lost 2-3 to the Astros in the home field against the Diamondbacks. They lost the last two coming back to Philadelphia. And then last year, they didn't come back to the Mets, didn't come back home because they weren't able to deliver two home wins against the Mets. So, yes, while home field for, as Kyle Schwarber is, these crazy animals, us Phillies fans, it's almost getting tired of this home field advantage for this. Like, oh, yeah, it's crazy and everything, but this team needs to deliver if they're going to rely on the home field advantage with it. I feel like we're a lot better team than the Padres, in even though the Padres have a lot better talent, have a lot of talent. But I could see this going 5 or 6 games. It really depends upon if the Phillies offense is hot and if the Padres pitching can hold up. Because Nick Pivetta is the number one starter right now for San Diego. But then Cease and Darvish has not pitched well against the Phillies, and Cease has been very hit or miss. So it depends upon whether or not they can hold steady, then I think this could be a competitive series. But I could also see this being I think this could be a 5-game series for the Phillies with it. I think the Phillies advance over the Padres. Again, I think they'll be close games, but I think the Phillies just have that little bit of an edge over the Padres. I think the Padres while talented than the Cubs, more talented than the Cubs and Brewers, I don't think they have enough juice to compete with the Phillies in a seven-game series, in my opinion. So that way I have the Phillies moving on to the World Series. And again, I don't believe in this team, but just the matchups that I'm going, like, I wanted to, personally, I want to face the Dodgers. Personally, I want to face the Brewers. I want to face the teams that technically, like, are, like, the good teams, in quote unquote. Like, I want the Phillies to do that. I don't want to face the Reds and then, you know, I guess the Padres in it, and just be like, oh yeah, you play the Reds and the Padres or something like that in the, you know, the championship series to get to the World Series. I want to play the best teams and I want to win. It's just whether or not I actually believe in this team. I don't know. I still can't believe in this team. It's just,
so we're gonna have a 1993 World Series rematch.
Yes, yes, we will.
Blue Jays and Phillies.
The year before I was born.
Yeah. I think a lot of this is a toss up. Apart from, in my opinion, the Reds and the Dodgers series, any of these could go either way. And I think the Phillies do have enough of an edge over the Padres, not just in terms of talent, but also in how they perform in the big spot. Look at what the Padres have done over the last couple of years when they've made the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, they made the NLCS, but they lost in five games. And
yeah,
were those close games?
I mean, like, Bedlam at the Bank was close. Like, we were losing, yeah. And we were going to go back to San Diego.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to do that.
Yeah, but even still in that series, I felt like the Phillies were in a pretty good position.
We were hot. Yeah.
Yeah. You were a hot team, and I think you have players that do come up in the big spot when needed, and that's going to make a difference in the postseason.
Yeah, that, like, they come up big, but we haven't gotten that. Like, we needed to come up one. Like, we needed that one hit in the Diamondback series, or that one a pitch in the Diamondback series. And then last year, we needed like one or two hits in the Mets series. It just didn't happen. I think if they beat the Dodgers, or if based off my predictions, I think that they will. The Brewers, I think, would give them trouble. So, but I think that the Padres advancing and then the Phillies advancing over the Padres, I could see that. But yeah, all right, let's talk about the World Series here.
Yeah, let's talk about the World
Series. Again, this is not planned. Like, we did not know. This is live. Just right off the cusp. Like, we have our research done and all the based off of predictions, but we don't have anything. Like, we're making our predictions live via this podcast. So this Toronto versus Philadelphia has the home field. So here,
I think this is another one where it's going to be up to the pitching, because the Blue Jays and Phillies are ranked 1 and 2 in terms of batting average in all of baseball. But in terms of pitching, the Phillies are 8th and the Blue Jays are 19th in ERA.
Yeah.
I
bullpen's kind of a toss-up.
I hate to sound like... it is a bit of a toss-up, but the Phillies definitely have an improved bullpen than what they started with.
What they started with? I just still don't trust it. We've been a little shaky. Duran's been a little shaky. Robert's been shaky. We don't have Alvarado. Strom's been inconsistent. He's not throwing as hard as he used to. I really want to believe in this team. Yeah. I really do. To all my Phillies fans, I really want to believe in this team.
Yeah.
There's just something about it that I just can't think that they're going to finally do it. This is like the closest that I've been since the Diamondbacks loss. Diamondbacks loss definitely hurt me. Last year hurt me more because it was the Mets, and I felt like, but we didn't deserve to win that series. The Mets just, I was like, wow, the Mets won, but it got me angry. I just can't, I'm not sure if my heart can invest in this team again to go on, because this is the fourth year, and we've regressed each year in terms of like, we made the World Series, we lost the World Series, we made the Championship Series, lost the Championship Series, we made the Division Round, lost the Division Round. Obviously, we're not in the Wild Card Series, so we can't lose that, but you know. I don't know. My heart wants to say the Phillies are going to win it, but I can't. I feel like the Toronto would beat us.
Well, I guess I have to come from a third party perspective in this case, because you're coming at it from the inside, like the inside, like I did with the Yankees. I got to believe on paper when I'm looking at the Phillies bullpen and I'm looking at the Blue Jays bullpen, and you have a bullpen. I mean, I guess they have Philly legend Sir Anthony Dominguez.
But
they have Jeff Hoffman as their closer.
Phillies legend.
Yeah, and he has a 4 ERA.
That stat's a little inflating. He gave up a lot of, like, 2-3 home runs, okay, in the blown saves. That's a closer ERA with it. I know it's a misleading stat. Yeah. But, yeah, he's a good pitcher.
But he's been hovering around 4 or 5 the entire year.
I know.
And, like, and the depth in the rotation's definitely better than the Blue Jays are.
Yeah. Phillies have a lot of depth.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not the guys that we choose to play pick up and actually do what they're supposed to. Because I think if the Phillies do what they're supposed to, then I think they win every series on paper. On paper, they're the best team, in my opinion. I think they're better than the Dodgers on paper with how this season has handled itself. But will they actually deliver with it? Because I'm missing Zach Wheeler. I want them to do it for Zach. I think if Zach was there, I think I'd be 100% in buying in on this team. But Christopher Sanchez is the number one starter. He's younger. He's put the load on him. He's carried the load, put the team on the back, starting rotation. Ranger's been a little shaky. Lizardo has been better recently. Had a little bit of hiccup in the midsummer. And then Nola, we don't know what we're getting out of Nola. You know, I went to the game on Friday, pitched 5-6 no-hit innings, but then gave up a home run because he just always gives up home runs. I've been a Nola defender. I just don't know. I really want to say that they're going to win the World Series. I really do.
I think that's the move.
So if you were to, your prediction, what do you think?
I think Phillies in 6.
Phillies in 6.
Yes.
Okay.
So Toronto's too good to be swept.
I agree.
I think they'll take it back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But I think the Phillies just have the deeper team. The concern, like you said, is their ability, like their history, and that's what is giving you the hesitation right now. But if we're just going on matchups and not necessarily how we're expecting players to perform, I gotta put my money on the Phillies.
Oh yeah, yeah, Phillies definitely have that. I think I'd probably agree with you. It's gonna go 6 or 7. You said 6 Phillies and 6.
Yes.
I can't. I have to do the Toronto. I'm gonna do Toronto and I'll do Toronto in 7. It's gonna be a heartbreak for the Phillies, in my opinion. As a Phillies fan, I want so hard to just say, yeah, the Phillies got this. Like, I think that this is our best shot. And probably one of our last shots, in my opinion. Zach Wheeler's not going to be the same pitcher he's coming back from the surgery. He's just not. Bryce Harper's getting older. Trey Turner's getting older. Schwarber could be gone. JT could be gone. This bullpen, also, we have the strike coming up next season, which we will get into many podcasts about. But most likely next season could be the last season of baseball for a year or two, possibly. The window is closing for the Phillies. And I think with Zach getting hurt, it is putting a little bit of like, we might not be able to do it. Especially with Trey Turner, we don't know what Trey's going to be like coming back from the hamstring injury. You know, if he's back to what he's going to be possible MVP votes, Trey Turner, then yeah, I could probably see this team easily riding all the way to the World Series. Yeah. Jeez. That's a really heartbreaking thing to think about. The Phillies losing in 7 in the World Series. I don't know if I'd be okay.
Well, you could be on my side and watch the Red Sox, your rival, beat my team again in the postseason. That doesn't feel very good.
Would you rather lose in the World Series again? Or would you rather see the Red Sox beat you early on?
I had to think about that.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. So just for clarification, so that way everyone knows, I will always be rooting for the Phillies, and I want them so hard to win it. I just can't fully believe in this team until they actually do it, because the last 3 years they haven't been able to just do it. They were so close in 2022. They didn't deserve to be there, but it felt like that was like the year where, yeah, this team could do it. 2023, they had all the talent. They just, everything hit the fan again in Arizona. They just fell apart in Arizona. Last year was kind of felt like a Sixers type of year where, like, yeah, like we kind of just made the playoffs. We're the best team, but then they just were terrible against the Mets. But I think every matchup that they face in the NL, they're going to be better than and have a better matchups. But I just can't make a prediction that they're going to win. I just can't put my heart into that. So, yeah. So you have the Phillies in six. I have Toronto in seven.
Yep.
Yeah. So whichever one you want to. So there's two options here, everyone. There's two options. You can take Kevin's predictions to the bank, or you can take my predictions to the bank.
To Citizens Bank?
Yeah, Citizens Bank, yeah. Well, that's where the season's going to end.
Yeah.
We one way or the other. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Take them to Citizens Bank. Open up a checking account or something like that. Put some money in. Or a savings account, you know? Who knows? This is going to be a fun postseason. I feel like this is better than last year's postseason matchups, in my opinion. Like, I felt like last year, I mean, the World Series was Dodgers-Yankees. That's what baseball wanted, even though everyone was like, it's Hitler versus Hitler type vibe. Like, those were the memes. I was like, eh. But I feel like the matchups are a little bit better this year for baseball. So we'll see what happens. Let us know your predictions. You know, if your team's in it, I know there's a lot of Phillies fans and there's a couple Yankee fans. I don't know if there's any Dodgers or Cubs fans that listen to us. Red Sox fans, but let us know your predictions. You know, are we wrong that we both have? Would you?
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope
I don't want to see the Blue Jays.
I hope I'm wrong too. I hope I'm wrong too. I hope the Phillies. The thing is, that's the World Series matchup I want, yeah. And I want the Phillies to win it. Like when I was looking at it, I was like, all right, which team in the AL do I want to face really bad and like beat? And I was like, I really want a rematch at 93. And then again, we didn't plan this. My captain from Peep Show, my Ultra Frisbee team, he's a Mets fan. He just texted me. This is live on air, everyone. He just texted me. Happy this pathetic Mets team didn't make it and get embarrassed in LA. So shout out to Lubes. Thank you. You will probably be listening to this when this gets released. So, the Mets aren't in the playoffs, but we have a good postseason ahead for the next month. Everyone, enjoy the playoffs. Yes. It is fun to watch postseason baseball. Yes. Even if your team's not in it, I feel like postseason baseball is the best thing to watch.
Indeed.
Yeah. So take their predictions to the bank. Let us know what you think. And once again, the Mets lost. So enjoy the postseason. We'll catch you next time.
Enjoy.